This is the Big East Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, here we go on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your Saturday morning. We would love for you to chime in on the conversation. Love for you to connect. You can join us live on Twitter at eRadio Sports. And did you know you can take us anywhere, anytime, 24/7. Just download our app, Sports Map Radio. My producer, Sean Mapes, hanging out with me in studio this morning. Follow him on Twitter at Sean A. Mapes. Sean, we've got an incredible show. Super excited. I will be catching up here momentarily with Fox Sports national sports commentator, and that is Tim Brando. Of course, we're going to talk about what all is going on in college basketball as we are so close to wrapping up the month of February. The countdown is on for March Madness, but I want you to weigh in and give us your reaction. We've had about a week to kind of think about what went down in that Michigan-Wisconsin game.
Absolutely pandemonium at that end of the game. Juwan Howard upset at Greg Gard from some timeouts late. They're going to do the perfunctory kind of handshake blow-by deal. Greg Gard kind of grabs him a little bit, and then Juwan Howard overreacts. And then he strikes one of the assistant coaches for Wisconsin. The five-game suspension, I think it's relatively light. You would have thought it was the rest of the season suspension, not just, yeah, you can come back for the Big Ten tournament. But again, he's one of the Fab Five members. He's a Michigan legend even before he was a coach there. So I just wonder who in the athletic department it will be able to kind of break through to him in that way.
Well, you know, with Juwan Howard, he is a head coach of an elite university. I think his contract's like $17 million. But Sean, you, in a workplace, you cannot physically attack someone. I mean, you could have some self-control. He's going to have to rehabilitate his image and his reputation and needs to go sit in some time out and take some anger management classes.
I would be very surprised if there's not some sort of, in the off-season story of, you know, Juwan Howard's taking some anger he's started to do yoga, maybe gone plant-based or something. But yeah, I think it's something that is an embarrassment for the University of Michigan.
Well, the conversation is going to continue because coming up next, national sports commentator with Fox Sports, the great Tim Brando, is coming up next.
The Big East Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Alyssa Walker Campbell, welcome back. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show on this Saturday morning. We always love to connect with our audience. You can join us live on Twitter at eRadio Sports Info. At eradiosports.com, Twice Is Nice, podcastarena.com, and you can take us anywhere, anytime, 24/7. Just download the Sports Map Radio app. Well, as promised, it is time to hoop it up. We are always ready to hit the hardwood and talk some college basketball, and so hard to believe the regular season. It is already winding down, and it's time to get you ready for some of the teams on the bubble and the bracket forecast. Plus, we want to get the reaction on what went down last week between Michigan and Wisconsin. So we are delighted to have with us for the very first time, I am a longtime fan of his work, and that is the great Tim Brando from Fox Sports. Good morning, Tim.
Good morning. It's great to be with the next Big E. I do remember Elvin Hayes. I watched him play in my youth, and it helped gravitate me to be a college basketball announcer when I grew up. I'll never forget the game with UCLA in Houston in 68. I was 12 years old. And back in those days, Houston actually played at Centenary College. And you might remember the Big Chief, Robert Parrish, played at Centenary in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of cut my teeth as a young broadcaster on KWKH Radio as a 50,000-watt radio station in Shreveport, where we used to have the Louisiana Hayride years and years ago. It was a big country station.
Oh, yeah.
And but they had centenary games, and I got to work on some of those games right after Parrish left. But I watched him in high school, too. But Elvin Hayes, I'll never forget that team with Don Chaney, the Big E, Ken Spain, and those guys that beat UCLA. I think that game, that primetime game, was that Dick Enberg called back in 1968, was the birth of big-time college basketball on network television. It was syndicated. It wasn't on a network, but it was syndicated. It really was the first primetime game ever seen for college basketball.
Tim, you're kind of dating yourself a bit going back to 68, though, right?
Yeah, but as I said, that's really not that long ago.
Yeah, okay. I'm trying to help you out here. Hey, Fox Sports' Tim Brando with us this morning on Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. And it has been a very busy season for you. In fact, you were supposed to be on the call on Thursday night, Ohio State and Illinois on FS1.
Yeah.
But the wacky weather grounded you from your assignments. So what is up with that?
Well, and I was supposed to be on today doing the Xavier game, which would have been a lot of fun. It happens, it seems, once a year, something. We had a horrible snow that impacted Texas, stopped all the windmills last year. You might recall back
in February. Yep.
It wasn't as bad yesterday. I was trying to get out at the time of our conversation here. I was trying to get out, you know, on time, and the airline said, no problem, your flights are good. And, I couldn't get out on Wednesday, and it was, really, I was heartbroken because that Illini-Ohio State game was great, and it was going to be great. I knew it would be, two top 25 teams. But Kevin Kugler pinch hit for me then, and I'm going to have to – well, I'm resting up. Let's put it that way. I'm resting up for the finish this week. We've got Michigan, Michigan State, so I'm going to Ann Arbor next. On Tuesday, and Phil Martelli will be coaching that team with Juwan Howard serving the first of his five-game suspension.
I know you're heartbroken. You're not going to be on the call this weekend, but you know what? This is good news for Mrs. Brando, because I'm sure she's going to have a honey-do list for you, and you can be Tim the Toolman
Taylor.
Well,
she better have a birthday cake for me tomorrow.
Oh,
tomorrow's
okay.
My birthday.
Well, happy
so
birthday.
She better, I don't mind the honey. The honey-do list is a given, okay? When you're married 43 years, every day there's a honey-do list. But yeah, we're going to celebrate the birthday. And people tell me, well, Tim, you don't look a day over, I don't know, whatever you were 10 years ago. And I'm
sure.
Like, well, makeup and just for men. That's the key, okay? Makeup and just for men.
Uh-huh. And good lighting, too. That always makes a difference, too. Right,
that
Tim?
Always helps, yes.
Absolutely. Okay, well, listen, let's move ahead. Let's talk about and dissect one of the biggest storylines this week.
Mm-hmm.
And get your reaction to the fight that went down last week and the suspension of Michigan's head coach, Juwan Howard. You have certainly covered a lot of basketball through the years, and when I watched that go down, it brought back memories of, watching Ron Artest and the Malice in the Palace. I mean, NBA stuff. I mean, I hadn't seen that before in the collegiate level.
Right. It was ugly,
And
particularly because it was a college basketball environment. And I don't know that the NBA really ever completely recovered from that melee, if you think back. I think it changed the feelings that a lot of fans had towards the NBA, and many of those feelings haven't really changed with a specific sector of our country. And I think for college basketball to have that happen, it hits much closer to home for guys like us. And listen, I had my stay with the NBA in the mid-90s doing Hawks games and playoffs with Turner. When Michael Jordan was making his way back and the Houston Rockets were winning back-to-back titles in the mid-90s with Akeem and that group as a sixth seed. So I remember that well, and I thought that the league took a step back when that happened. I certainly don't want college basketball to be stained the same way, but I think it probably raised the eyebrows of a lot of us to take a look at ourselves and say, all right, now, How do we best go about making sure that these kinds of moments don't happen again? And I don't share the feelings that some, especially in the Twitter sphere, have of eliminating handshake lines. I don't think that that's the right thing to do. Mm-hmm. I think that we should expect the adults in the room to be responsible, accountable, and exhibit sportsmanship whenever possible. However, I think that what Patrick Ewing said just the other day, and what was expressed at the end of the Kentucky LSU game, which I got a look at on Wednesday night, was that, hey, act like you know, just use COVID protocols and just wave and smile to the other guys after the game is over. Mm-hmm. All right, you don't have to necessarily go through a line if you don't want to go through a line. Maybe that's something that the coaches can discuss. I don't think we necessarily have to end it because of what happened here. This was just poor judgment on the part of coaches in February when things are intense and there's a lot on the line. Michigan is a bubble team, and they had an opportunity to get a quad one win at Wisconsin, and they're getting embarrassed late. And Juwan took exception to a timeout being called, and he went over the top. And it's unfortunate because Juwan's a good guy.
Yeah,
I've known him for over 30 years, since his days as a player. He was a glue guy for that Michigan Fab Five team. He went on to a 20-year NBA career, during which time he really became a student of coaching. Eric Spoelstra especially took him under his wing. And the job that he's done since taking over for John Beilein, who's a hell of a coach, a Hall of Fame coach in my mind, mm-hmm. is exemplary. But this was a bad moment. And he had one last year, too, you know, at the Big Ten tournament with Mark Turgeon.
Yep.
So there have been signs of some anger management issues that he really needs to deal with on a personal level as a professional. And I think he's going to do that. But at the time that it happened, Lisa, there was no question in my mind that there were circumstances that led to that particular moment that could have easily been avoided on both parties. There's no question there's culpability with Wisconsin, too. Okay, let's be up front. But the more egregious actions were taken by Juwan. He crossed a line. And those moments that led to that crossing of the line were pretty obvious. A coach taking a timeout with a 15-point lead and under 30 seconds remaining in the game is never going to be well received. Greg Gard lacked the self-awareness to understand that because he was living in an insular world, as many coaches do, mm-hmm. and decided to help his walk-ons because he had emptied his bench. And there is a rule that allows for you to get a fresh 10 seconds to get the ball over half court against the press, and he wanted to take the timeout to help his guys out. He didn't want them to be embarrassed. That I get that. I understand how he could feel that way. But he failed to understand how that would land with the opposition. Okay, that's something that Greg needs to rethink in the future. And any other coach should, really. But it did not warrant Juwan making a snide remark to him as he came through the line. If Juwan had simply not gone through the line, if he had just walked off the floor, would people have commented about his lacking sportsmanship? Yeah, they would have. But would it have kept that scene from happening? No question. Juwan's biggest mistake was going through the line with the attitude he had and saying what he did. You know, I'm going to remember that expletive.
Right.
Without looking at Gard. Well, Gard did what I think was, people said, well, he touched him. Yeah, well, what would you do if someone said that to you as you were going through the line? Your natural human emotion would be to stop the man and try to explain yourself. Well, Juwan wasn't going to have any of that. I was like trying to get, you know, I'm trying to think of a political analogy. That would be like trying to get AOC stop when the minority leader of the House was trying to stop her. You know, that's not going to happen. Yeah. It's just not going to happen. So that's what helped escalate matters. and we had an ugly scene as a result. So decisions were made over a minute and a half to 2 minutes leading up to that moment, and shortly after the moment took place, that were bad on both sides. But again, Juwan's was far more egregious, and he took it to another level. And those players, the thing that jumped out at me was those players that did throw punches didn't until after they saw their coach throw a right. Okay. Right. And yeah, it was an open-handed right, but he threw it. And it was at that point the players got involved. I think the one aspect of the penalties that were put out against both programs was that players were not ejected, but suspended for, you know, a game. And I don't think they deserved that. I really didn't. They didn't do anything that their leaders didn't do. And I thought that was unfortunate. But I thought the penalties were what they should have been. And I think that he should learn from this. And when he comes back, there's a zero tolerance policy in place. That hasn't been said necessarily, but I believe that the AD at Michigan had to have privately told him, this can't happen again or it's your job.
Our conversation will continue with Fox Sports' Tim Brando after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to rejoin Fox Sports' Tim Brando. Give him a follow at Tim Brando. So I got to ask you, I mean, when the punishment went down, a 5-game suspension, did it make sense? Did you agree with it?
Yeah, I did. It did. I think it could have been less than that if he had shown some contrition in the press conference afterwards.
In post-game, yeah.
That's where I was most disappointed in Juwan. And as I said, I'm a fan of him, not only as a professional, but as a person. I really like the guy a lot and have spent quite a bit of time through the years with him. Called his games in college, called his games in the NBA, and since he came to Michigan, I thought he was a breath of fresh air for the league in so many ways. So I was disappointed even more so in the presser, because by the time he walked off the floor and into that press conference, it should have dawned upon him the mistakes that he made. I, at that point, I thought, well, he could get fired, okay? But by the time, obviously, he got home, you know, it's probably started to sink in. Oh, boy. But I was surprised it took that long for him, because under normal circumstances, the Juwan Howard I know would have figured out by the time he got to the locker room, I just screwed up.
So I have to wonder, I mean, damage control-wise, I mean, how does he rebound from this? And I just have to wonder about the long-term effects as far as how does this impact recruiting? You know, if you're coming into my living room and you're going to be recruiting my son, I might have some serious pause about, is this the leader that I would want to be cultivating?
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting that you say that, because a lot of people have had similar thoughts and have passed those along to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to sound pessimistic.
Okay.
But I actually believe that there is a significant part of our society that's out there today that has been so impacted by social media that Juwan's already a great recruiter. Let's begin with that.
Sure.
He had a top 5 recruiting class. In fact, some of the pressure that he was feeling was because his recruiting class was so great and the team had underachieved this year, which can happen when you've got a lot of young players. And we were talking about that when I was last together with him for the Purdue game in West Lafayette a little over 3 weeks ago. I actually think that there's a chance that in some circles this will enhance his recruiting capability. Mm-hmm. All right? Now, that's ominous in so many ways. But I think that there's a feeling out there that's shared among many that Michigan's recruiting, which by the way, this year, they don't need a lot of, because most of their freshmen have underachieved. They're not going to get out early. They're not going to be one and dones. They will return. So he doesn't have to get as many guys for next year, but he'll certainly recruit. And Michigan may actually may actually still do very, very well. And that's sad because the notion that – and here's the notion. Okay, as opposed to those of influence with the young men being those that would pause because the leader of that team where my son may be going took a shot at another coach. That notion is not actually what's being received by many. The notion would rather be, oh, he's going to fight for my kid. He's going to fight for my kid to be successful. And that would be a good thing. Now, I don't agree with that theory.
But there are people that think that way, yeah.
But there are people in our culture today that feel that way. And
So
I don't know that the answer would be as quick and as unison as you might think.
Hey, we are winding down our time. Fox Sports' Tim Brando with us this morning at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Give him a follow on Twitter. Always posting some great stuff. At Tim Brando, just quickly, let's get your thoughts on postseason play. Who are perhaps some of the most dangerous bubble teams right now? And give some love to the Sooners. Come on, I'm a Sooner.
Yeah.
Come on, Timmy.
Well, the Big 12 is an awesome league. And the Big 12... The Big East and the Big Ten, in my view, are the top three. I'd put the SEC just outside that as the fourth best league, but all of them have great depth. The SEC does too. I mean, there are some teams in that league that are sub 500 in their conference, like LSU, by example, that lost by just a few points at Kentucky the other night. They're going to get into the tournament probably as a 8, 9, 10 seed, and they're dangerous. You know, Alabama has been an up and down team. Oklahoma, as you mentioned, out of the Big 12, is a team that is very dangerous. So look at the Big 12: Texas, Texas Tech, Oklahoma, Kansas, Baylor. I mean, and I know I'm leaving somebody out. They're all good.
Yeah.
You know, these teams are just dynamite. And, yeah, if you get the right draw, we saw this with the Pac-12 last year. We saw the emergence of teams like Oregon State, out of the Pac-12 that went all the way to the Elite Eight. And then we had USC and UCLA both in the Final Four. I don't think that'll necessarily happen. The Pac-12 is top-heavy. You don't have that issue in any one of those leagues I mentioned as your top four. The Big 12, the Big East, the Big Ten, and the SEC. Those leagues are tough. I think the conference tournaments this year are going to be more impactful than maybe they've ever been, because it's very likely, not just in the one bid leagues, all right, leagues like the West Coast Conference, where you expect St. Mary's and Gonzaga to be the only two teams, or historical one bid leagues like the OVC, where a bid could be stolen sometimes if maybe more than Murray State were really good. Okay, I think we're looking at a season in which we might see teams come out of nowhere that were not going to get a bid win major conference tournament championships. We saw it last year with Georgetown in the Big East. Think about that. Georgetown went on a miraculous run, beat Villanova in the quarterfinals, and then got Creighton in the finals, beat them, and managed to make the NCAAs. That same team is pretty much intact. As we speak, they're looking for their first win in the season this year. Now, think about that. Barely scratching the surface to get a conference win. And right now, the reigning Big East tournament champions. I think we could see something like that in leagues like the SEC or the Big Ten or the Big 12. Teams that you just would not have identified as being, tournament champions. I think that could happen. So bid stealing, the potential bid stealing during championship week with these conference tournaments can really happen and make the job for the committee very, very difficult come Selection Sunday.
The countdown is on for March Madness. What a true honor to have with us this morning Tim Brando, national sports commentator with Fox Sports. Check him out. He's got a busy week. And Timmy, thank you for joining us on the show, and happy birthday.
Yeah, thank you. I'm a Pisces, so did you like... Did you like the interview? Did I do okay? Please tell me I did okay.
Absolutely. You crushed it. Out of the park, Tim. Hey, listen, I got to go. I'm up against the clock. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. As always, thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your weekend. Mark it down. We make it so easy. Saturday mornings, 10 to 12 Eastern time, and perhaps you are joining us for the first time. We always deliver in the biggest and best in sports. Always have some amazing guests. In fact, on our previous segment, Tim Brando from Fox Sports was joining us, always talking some college basketball, which was a lot of fun. But right now we're going to pivot, and we're ready to talk some PGA news and notes. The 2022 Honda Classic is underway, and what an amazing star-studded field at PGA National. Our next guest, you know what? He has played the course many, many times, and we are excited to get his perspective, and that is the great former PGA pro, Larry Miller. Good morning on this Saturday, Larry.
Yeah, good morning, everybody. Lots happening in golf, in the golf world this week, and so there's a lot to talk about. So let's talk some golf.
So before we get your takeaways so far on the Honda Classic, let's have you weigh in on the Genesis Invitational from last weekend, one of your favorite places on the planet to play, and that, of course, is the Riviera Golf Club. And Joaquin Niemann earned his second PGA Tour win. He was simply sensational, finished 19 under and against a very good field. But, I mean, like, Larry, he's only 23 years old.
Yeah, he just lit it up. Boy, that 63-63 start, 126. You know, they had players that were playing really well, you know, that were 8-9 under and found themselves eight shots back after two rounds and after playing really good golf. So he really did light it up. He was clicking on all cylinders. And Joaquin Niemann has he's got an unusual golf swing, and I say it's unusual because it's rare. It's almost in the Hogan territory with the way the positions that he gets into when he strikes the golf ball. If you get a chance in maybe YouTube or Google his swing and stop it right at impact, right before impact with the ball, and take a look at the position he's in, and you're not going to see many tour players. You can count them on two fingers maybe in that position when he hits the golf ball, when he comes into the ball at impact. And it's almost freakish like Hogan was, what he can do, the way he bows that left hand coming into the ball, the way he stays in his posture. And it's a remarkable golf swing. And he compresses the ball. The result of all that is that he compresses the ball, to a full extent. And you can tell by the sound. They said that Hogan made a distinctive sound when he struck the ball. Nick Price was another one that did that. But Joaquin Niemann has that same quality about his swing, and it's because of the positions he gets into. So, and listen, he's been forecasted as one of the rising stars, and he exhibited that potential for sure at Riviera.
You know, I was going to ask you where he gets his power, 119 club head speed average. And what is so interesting is here he is. He's been at the top 30 of club head speed for each of the last two seasons and finished 13th on tour in driving distance. But he's not the biggest guy on tour. You know, he's not some big imposing guy.
Yeah. He like a string bean, but he combines flexibility with leverage and speed. And when I say speed, I mean speed of his body rotating. And the speed of his arms when they swing down right behind that rotation of the lower body. So the flexibility plays a big part in that. You will find quite often some of the really long hitters that are slightly built can do that because of their build, their anatomy, and they're more flexible than someone who's thicker. Built more thickly through the torso. And so that's part of it, is the flexibility he has. It's the leverage, the positions he gets into with the high hands at the top, and then that position at impact. So it's a combination of things that enable him at that, you know, rather slight build to hit the ball that far. Listen, there's a lot of girls on the LPGA Tour that are 115, 120 pounds that can hit it 280. And that's how they do it, too. They do it with flexibility.
I'm so glad you're joining us this morning at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. He is back, former PGA pro and author. That is Larry Miller, LarryMillerGolf.com. We are recapping Joaquin Niemann, earns his second PGA Tour win. And as we were just talking about, very, very special, this Chilean golfer. What do you think the future holds for him?
Oh, I can see many, many wins for him and some majors for sure. He's got the game to play any golf course. He's got the length. He's, you know, a good enough iron player. And he's a streaky putter. When his putter's on, he's right there. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of weeks when his putter's going to be hot, and he's going to win a lot of golf tournaments. And Cameron Young, listen, he emerged too.
Oh, yes.
Another young player that emerged and showed that that he has that great potential also. You know, the world is just full of them right now, you know, full of those young guys that are just bursting out. And so anyway, we're seeing first-time winners all the time. It's going to continue because of the depth coming off the Korn Ferry Tour and all these young guys. So it's an exciting time for golf. The scores reflect it. They're shooting low numbers almost every week, lower than ever. And I don't see any of it stopping anytime soon.
The growth of the game, it is an exciting time for golf. But one of the hot topics we've got to take a deep dive into, of course, is Phil Mickelson. Like, what in the world is going on with him? Is he in a midlife crisis right now? I'm, like, so stunned and shocked at just what he shared with the author and writer, Alan Shipnuck.
Yeah, here's what I think about it. I think what he said, what came out that he said, if it's accurate, which apparently it is, it's very bizarre. And like you said, it's stunning, it's shocking, and it's just bizarre that he would say those things. However, let me say this: that you know, we need to hear more about what's going on with Phil. We don't know what's happening in his life. We don't know in his personal life if there's something going on. We don't know if there's some medical issue that's contributing to some strange behavior, which the things that he said definitely qualify as strange behavior, very shocking out of him. But I don't think that we should necessarily have a complete condemnation. I don't think we should condemn him until we can really find out more, a little deeper about what's happening with Phil. I don't agree with some of the things that, for instance, that Rory McIlroy, I think he was a little strong in the things he said, mm-hmm. because I think it's premature. I think it's premature to say those kind of things before we know the depth of what's going on with him personally. So for sure, it's very bizarre. It's got all the players riled up. It's got, you know, he's lost his sponsors. And I'll tell you something else, too. For all of his sponsors to drop him like that, it almost tells me that there's something more that we're going to find out. There's something more going on that's going to come to light that maybe is not very good. And because, I mean, it was just a complete withdrawal of all of his longtime sponsors, too. So, you know, I think it's bizarre. It's strange. It's not good for golf. It's a very bad. A lot of dirt could come out of this. But let's just hope that, you know, that somehow there's a resolution and some remorse, at least for the things that he said, for sure, no matter what the cause was. And so, anyway, you hate to see stuff like this because Phil has been a fan favorite for a long time.
For sure.
But you know, he's just, he said some very bad things. And listen, the PGA Tour is not perfect. Nothing's perfect. No organization is perfect. And there's all going to be little things that could be improved. But the PGA Tour has never been healthier. Golf has never been healthier and more popular. And a lot of people have made a lot of money on the PGA Tour. And so I don't think that that you could possibly say there's anything that's major that's wrong with the tour. And so and Phil made it sound like there was. And I think that's part of the problem. And who knows? Who knows if this is a low-key suspension that he's on and mm-hmm. not self-imposed? He made it sound like it was self-imposed to step away. But who knows? It could be a low-key suspension from the tour that, you know, a lot of times the tour takes disciplinary action and it's not publicized. I know that for sure.
Okay.
And so, anyway, we'll see. We'll see. It'll be very strange to not see him at the Masters and the Players.
Former PGA Pro Larry Miller with us this morning, Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network. You know what comes to my mind is, listen, if Tiger Woods can be forgiven for all of his transgressions, I think that Phil Mickelson eventually is going to be fine.
Yeah, and I couldn't agree more. Absolutely. And listen, nobody's perfect. We all make mistakes. We all say things.
I thought you were perfect, Larry. Come on.
Yeah, right.
I'll ask Connie.
Hey, well, you know, listen, there are days when you hit 16 greens and have 35 putts and days when you hit 10 greens and have 26 putts.
Yeah.
And so nothing,
isn't that true?
Nothing's perfect, especially about golf. So, uh-huh. But anyway, you know, nobody's perfect. And sometimes people say things for whatever reason that they regret later. And I agree with you. I think that given some of the transgressions that other people have, you know, have made, and been forgiven and went on and made mea culpa. I hope that happens with Phil, too, because I think that he's been great for the game.
So Phil Mickelson does apologize for his reckless comments and said he's going to take some time off and has lost, what, some sponsors. But let's do hypotheticals. Say you were on the PGA Tour's advisory council. If you could see any kind of changes, make some tweaks here and there. We're always trying to improve and get better. What would you like to see, perhaps, Larry, done a little bit different?
Well, I don't have any problem with the money. There's plenty of money. I mean, people are making, you know, you mm-hmm. go play golf for 4 days and make $1 million. I mean, give me a break. You know, when a school teacher and a fireman and a policeman, you know, don't make any money, and these people play golf 4 days and make $1 million, who can complain about that? But one of the things is that, you know, I can see where if a player, especially a younger player new on the tour, if you miss the cut, you know, you don't get any money. You get zero money. And I think that if you are in the tournament and play 36 holes, you should get something, if only to cover expenses, for sure. So that's one thing that needs to be tweaked a little bit. You know, I think that, I don't know. I don't know what else I would say could be tweaked. I think one thing is that I'd like to see the fields expanded somewhat. I think you could expand the fields to let more players in. Because
I like that, yeah.
Yeah, well, there's so many good young players now that never get a chance. I mean, you're going to – the way it's going right now, you're going to have some great, great golfers that will never set foot on the PGA Tour because it's so exclusive. So I'd like to see some form, some way to expand the field or make it more accessible
That's
to
fair.
Some of these great young players. Yeah, but aside from that, there's really not much wrong with the tour. It's like I said, it's healthy, profitable, does a lot of charity, great charity work. So – you know, there's really not a lot wrong with it, but like any other organization, things can be tweaked and improved a little bit.
Our PGA News and Notes will continue with Larry Miller after this quick timeout.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour 1, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We're teeing it up with former PGA Pro and author Larry Miller. Larry Miller, with us just a few more minutes, Sports Map Radio Network. We would love to connect with you. Join us live on Twitter at eRadio Sports. And he's got his own website, LarryMillerGolf.com. Larry, direct our listeners, what are they going to find when they tee up?
Well, I've got a website that will allow you to send videos to me of your golf swing from a couple of different angles with different clubs, and I take a look and analyze the your action and see what can be improved, if anything. And of course, we all can be improved, but I suggest how to do it, how to make improvements. I give you drills to reinforce what I tell you. And then we get on the phone, have a conversation about your game, and it's very beneficial. You can really, really become a better player by taking advantage of it.
Okay, the Honda Classic, it is underway. We've got our eye on several guys, but you have played this course many times. My son Steven has played at the Rolex for PGA National for AJGA tournaments. What do you love about this course?
I love the fact that it's a great driving course. I think the people who hit the ball on the fairway mm-hmm. Most of the time are going to be at the top of the leaderboard. It's really paramount that you hit the ball in the fairway. it's a little bit like sawgrass, where if you miss the fairway, it becomes extremely difficult. But if you hit it in the fairway, it's not hard at all. So it's a driving golf course, and you got to get it in position. And that means for a lot of these long hitters these days, they hit it so far now that you don't necessarily have to hit driver on every hole. You need to choose a club that you know you can get it in the fairway. You know, Stephen, your son Stephen, calls it a fairway finder. That's what we call it. And that's what you need. You need a fairway finder on every one of those holes so that you can play your approach shot from a good lie in the fairway. Then you can attack the flags on that course. And, of course, it can get very windy, too, there. And that's another thing. A good wind player is going to play well there, too.
And, of course, how do you attack the bear trap?
With caution. I think club selection on the bear trap is really important. You better get the right club in your hands. And if that wind starts swirling, that's not easy to do. But a lot of players are better than others at doing that, at assessing the situation and getting just the right club in their hands. And then the other thing about the bear trap is you don't want to go for flags too many times, you know, on those holes. The middle of the green is really good. You hit it in the middle of the green, you're not going to have a really long putt. And there's nothing wrong with pars on those holes. There's a lot of other birdie holes out there.
Always learn something new when he joins us each and every week. That is former PGA pro and author Larry Miller joins us at Sports Map Radio Network. You and Connie have a great weekend. Larry, we look forward to another conversation next week.
Yes, enjoyed it, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. Much more coming your way. Hour 2 is coming up next at Sports Map Radio Network, the fastest 2 hours in radio. Join us online at Twitter, @eRadioSports. And the Big E, I'm going to be right back.